Welcome to episode 4 of the BSJ podcast. I am your host, the American Redneck Buckshot Jones. And on these podcasts, like the previous ones and the future ones, will be independent professional wrestlers and talk about their careers and independent professional wrestling in general. My guest today is a guy I met a year ago, but I've seen his work before that. I met him in my brief time in TWA. My guest today, the international superstar, the Indian Nightmare, Vinish. How you doing, buddy?
Thank you so much. I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast, Buckshot. I greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much.
So how are you holding up during this statewide shutdown all over the country during this pandemic?
It really didn't affect me that much because, you know, a lot of people that don't know this, probably maybe some they know this. I used to be an Uber Lyft driver before all these things started. And now I do food deliveries like, you know, Uber, DoorDash. That's my shoot job pretty much. And at this point, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia now. I'm doing shows. I'm working for a private wrestling company. We're doing empty arena shows for online companies.
Well, at least you're getting your wrestling fixed. Some of us are still sitting at home. And
I know. I feel bad too, man. Trust me, I know. I'm going to be here doing one more show this weekend on this Saturday for Stronghold Wrestling Network. That's a promotion based in Fort Valley, Georgia, which is like, you know, around 2 hours away from Atlanta, Georgia. So one more show on the Saturday, then I'll be going back to Indiana.
That's good. As I stated at the top of the show, I met you in TWA face-to-face.
Yeah.
But I've seen your work before that after I stepped away from IWA, which a lot of guys did. We'll get to IWA here in a bit.
Yeah.
I enjoyed your work, man. And I was sitting there with my ex-wife because we'd watch the shows.
Yeah.
You know, through Facebook Live and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, I said, if I go back, that's the guy I got to work with. I mean, your work is just fabulous.
Thank you, Buckshot. I appreciate that.
So how did you get with IWA? And I know you spent time there.
Yeah.
What did you think of it? And where did you go from there?
IWA. So I moved from New York to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I was trying to get booked in Pittsburgh. So I was out of action for almost 2 years of a fracture on my skull. So it happened in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania because of stupid dudes responsibility anyway. So I was in Pittsburgh. I was new to that area at that time, and this is like in 2018, and I was doing shows, and there's one friend of mine at that point of time told me, like, there's this promotion in Chillicothe, Ohio. They're looking for talents, and he was booked there as a referee. And he asked me if I'm interested to drive with them. I said, yeah. And, you know, there's one thing, wherever you go, you always bring your gear, you know. So
exactly.
And I went there. I was sitting at the crowd and got a chance to watch some pretty good matches. I believe the first match I ever got a chance to watch, that was between Travers and J.J. Stone. Great stuff, man. And after the show, Caleb Culper invited me, I believe someone told me that the promoter was inside, would like to see you or something like that. I don't remember exactly what happened, but I went on the back, and Caleb liked to see my work, and he invited me to the next show. So before that, Brad was starting his promotion, TWA, and I did their first inaugural show. It was a triple threat. Me against Sinborn, against Nero. We did that triple threat match, and Kayla was there. And and he said, like, he liked my work. He liked to bring me in at IWA. And the stage is set. I was told by, I believe, Caleb, that I'll be working with Joshua Charles for an untitled match. And when I went there, it was different. When I arrived in the Triple Crown Center, everything has changed. It won't be a one-on-one. They said it will be a triple threat match. So it's going to be me versus Joshua versus Jay Miller. Now, at that point in time, I believe Jay Miller and Gile Castle, they have something going on. So then they changed it again. They made it to a Fatal 4-Way. So that was my debut in a Fatal 4-Way in IWA.
Right. Now, talk about the business. When did you come into the business? Who are your influences and who did you get trained by?
When I say this to a lot of people, they smile, they laugh. Some people, they say, that's so cool. I grew up like everyone else. I used to be a Stone Cold fan when I grew up. But when I learned the business, when I started watching more and more and more, I became a fan of Chris Kanyon. He's a very underrated, very talented worker. Then I pretty much lived in upstate New York. There's this place called New City in Rockland County. So it was so hard to find any wrestling school. You got to go to New Jersey, Bridge, or, you know, you got to go to the main city. So there's one school was always popular, and that was Johnny Rod's Unpredictable Wrestling School that was in Brooklyn, near to the Brooklyn Bridge. So it was funny. I didn't have a car at that time, and I was catching a local bus. It was kind of like 3 hours to get into downtown New York, and from there you get down and you catch the Section E, I believe it was E train to Brooklyn, and you get down near to the Brooklyn Bridge. Again, from there, you got to walk for 20, 30 minutes. And Gleason's Gym, that's where, on the third floor, that's where he had his wrestling school. I went there, and I still remember the first time I ever met Johnny Rods, the Unpredictable WWE Hall of Famer, Johnny Rods. I went inside his office, and it was kind of like a moment where, like, you know, a kid goes to a toy store, you know. When I'm looking around, I see the pictures, you know, he's standing with the Big Show, Eddie Guerrero, the Dudley Boys, Tommy Dreamer, and all these pictures there. And he asked me, "How can I help you, gentlemen?" And I was like, "Okay, hey, I'm a wrestling fan. I want to be a professional wrestler." And then that's where it all started. So at this point in time, I was working as a dishwasher, I believe, part-time. And since, like, you know, working in the restaurant, it's so tough to get out of from the place on weekends. So I always used to go to Johnny Rod's school. That's where I started for almost 6 months. My training days was from Tuesday to Thursday, I believe. I used to go there like 1 o'clock afternoon, and I stayed there till 5 or 6. And I loved the job. I loved the dishwashing job at that point of time because I just wanted to get into the wrestling full time. So whenever they have any shows, you know, he give us the flyers, tickets. You got to go out, and no matter what, you got to try at least one ticket, you know. That's how it is. You got to pay your dues. That's very important. You go there, set up the ring, tear down the ring after the shows, clean everything, make sure, you know, you don't even have a mark on anything like that, and promote it. So 5 to 6 months, I was training in there. When I was there, I got a chance to meet Colin Cassidy, later used to known as the Big Cass and the WWE. But the traveling was a big issue because every day, whenever I want to go there, it's like, you know, 3 hours in the bus to go there, and traveling through the local train, then come back and again get on that bus again. So it was almost like 7 hours just to get trained. Then later, I got a buddy. I had a neighbor What was his name? Bradley, Aaron Bradley. So he used to train in ECPW in Percy Pony Lake Havate, New Jersey. Gino Caruso used to run that promotion with Nunzio. He was pretty much like an hour away, and Aaron had a car. So then I used to travel with him to ECPW. And that's pretty much was my basic baby steps in the wrestling. And I was like doing matches and stuff in there. And then somebody told me, like, you know, you got to move to Pittsburgh, man. That's where the people are, the good trainers are. Because I was always like a Kurt Angle fan. I always wanted to be like a wrestler. You know, I was not interested in, like, you know, doing any funny stuff in the ring. I always wanted to wrestle. So I knew Kurt Angle was from Pittsburgh. That's how I ended up moving to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And it was different because at this point of time in New Jersey, I was doing matches, doing six-man matches, you know, tag matches and stuff like that. Now, went to Pittsburgh, and I don't want to bash anyone or anything like that. I don't want to name anybody, but this promotion that I went there, you know, you always travel so that you can learn more stuff and you can improve your things, right? So I went there, and the treatment was really bad. So they were like, you know, the one dude told me, like, I don't give a damn if you came from Johnny Rod School or New Jersey. We have our thing here. This is what we do. Within a week or two, I believe we were preparing some stuff. We were doing training. It was a back body drop thing. So without an assistance, you got to do a back body drop. This one dude who came up with the idea, I did twice, and third time I was uncomfortable. This guy was telling me, you got to throw yourself a little bit further. I was like, I'm not comfortable. I can do this. He said, he pretty much said this, are you such a pussy? And it was a weird back body drop. I landed on my head back in 2016. That's how I fractured my skull. That was pretty much about my training and almost 2 years. Not 2 years, about a year and a half. Then I met one of the WWE Hall of Famer. He invited me to Texas, and I went to Texas, and he helped me a lot to overcome my fear. Then I've been start doing shows after that.
Great. So what was the first promotion you worked for?
The first promotion that I ever worked for was WUW, World of Unpredictable Wrestling, owned by Johnny Rods. It was a kind of like a 8-man tag match. I was involved. Then after that, ECPW in Percy Penny. I believe my first one-on-one opponent was Aaron Bradley, I believe. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's going to be my next question. Who was your first opponent? But
yeah,
you saved me the trouble.
Yeah.
So all together, if you can remember, what all promotions have you worked for?
Oh, Jesus. Oh, boy.
To the best of your knowledge that you can remember.
I worked for House of Glory in Brooklyn, New York, owned by Amazing Red. I worked in BMW, New Jersey, owned by, what's this? Cowbar. Remember Cowbar, WCW?
Yes.
Yeah, he had a
promotion. Devin Storm.
Yes. BMW. Pittsburgh. I worked in Code Red Wrestling. Texas. I worked in TCW, Texas Championship Wrestling in Houston. VCW, Virginia Championship Wrestling, Virginia. Then what was the other three that I worked with? Asylum Pro Wrestling in Pennsylvania. Used to be owned by Crazy Shay. Then Code Red Wrestling, owned by Phil Fleck. did I believe one or two shows with them. Then IWA, Bill Cockley, did two shows with them. TWA in Ohio. Then West Virginia Championship Wrestling. Then Mega Pro Wrestling in West Virginia, Charleston. Well, I mean, Concussion ain't that really bad. I can't remember. what's the other one? Yeah, I'm. I worked. There's one big promotion at that point of time in Toledo, Ohio. It's called ECW, not Paul Heyman's ECW, Extreme Chaos Wrestling. Then I'm the internet and heavyweight champion in XVW, Extreme Valley Wrestling, in Middletown, Ohio. Then I worked in WWA, World Wrestling Alliance, in Evansville, Indiana. Then worked in Bobo Brizzle Jr.'s promotion, MCIW Hot Breed. That's in Indianapolis, Indiana. Upstart Pro Wrestling, owned by Jeremy Howell, in Indiana. Then Mark Rudis, that's his name, last name. He had this promotion in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I worked for them. Then Ohio Valley Wrestling, OVW. I was there for 5-6 months. I worked there. Al Snow owns the company now. Stronghold Championship Wrestling, Atlanta, Georgia. Then Pro Wrestling Alliance in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Then Frozen Tundura Wrestling in Wisconsin. CIW Wrestling in Illinois. I really apologize if I missed any wrestling promotions out there. I'm sorry.
That's okay. What were some of your best matches and what were some of your worst?
Best matches, I'll say, my first match, in IWA, even though a lot of people say like it was a train wreck, whatever, but I consider that was a great experience. No one will say a fatal four way was their, best match, but I would say because I got a chance to work with Joshua Charles and Kyle Castle in the same time. Those guys were like really best and, really easy to work with. It was a really amazing experience. That was really a unique experience. Then another, it's easy to say the match always I had with Kyle Castle in TWA, Slamwell, TWA, Gary Gandy in XVW. I forgot his name. I really apologize, bro, but he called himself the porn star, Peter, something like that. I forgot his last name. We had a great match in Wisconsin in FTW. Yeah, those are like really memorable matches, that's for sure.
Okay, what were some of your worst?
Oh, man, I know, Buckshot, what are you looking for? I'll give it to you.
I think I know where you're going to go with this, but no.
It was against the American Sniper. that was one of my worst matches ever. That was the only one match. Actually, no. I had another worst match. That was in Renegade Championship Wrestling in Irvine, Kentucky. The guy that I worked in there, it was also another, I'll say, worst match because we were supposed to go like 15 minutes. And the guy that I worked with, I forgot his name again. He was supposed to be a veteran in this business. He was telling me he'd been in this business for 18 years. Within 5 minutes, he forgot all the spots. We don't really pretty much call anything, but we knew the beginning and the end. Within 5 minutes, he was like, go home, go home. I was like, dude. It's like, boom, 1, 2, 3. That was one of the worst matches I ever had. And Yeah, it was bad. And in the back, it was like, and telling his friends, oh, it was great stuff. I was like, well, fuck you, dude. We were supposed to go 15 minutes. And I drove around 3 hours, 45 minutes to come down there. And then the promoter told me he will pay me a certain amount. And he didn't even pay me that money that he promised that he will pay. And it was bad. It was really bad. But I wasn't hurt. I wasn't hurt. You know, that's one thing I can tell you. But the worst match ever, that was against Patriot Sniper in IWA. That was my, I believe, the last match I ever had with that company.
Yeah, that seems to be the consensus with everybody, you know, being a worst match with that guy. Not just being Patriot Sniper. That's him under a hood. He goes by Vinny Violence.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know.
It was really bad because I showed up very early and I was looking for Vinny Violence or Sniper, whatever he goes by. He wasn't anywhere. Like, you know, I couldn't find him at all. And I know we always, like, we pretty much had like 10, 15 minutes. Within 15 minutes, we were supposed to go to the ring and do this thing. And I'm looking for this dude. I couldn't find him anywhere. Then finally, I met him and I was like, I asked him, are you okay? And he was like, I believe he was going through some personal stuff. And I was pitching the idea that I want to sell for him, even though the booker, I believe at that time, Connor Cross was the booker. And his intention was to put me over strong. You know, he even told Vinny, he's like, hey, this is our guy, you know, he's a heel. We are building up for a match with Joshua Charles for the IWA heavyweight title. So I want you to put him over big. And at the same time, I don't want to bury, you know, my hometown talent. So I told him, okay, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to put you over in some spots, you know. He was like, okay. I got it. All right. Yeah, good. And we went there, and I don't know if you ever got a chance to watch the match, man. It was bad. I saw everything, but at the same time, there were moments where I believe he didn't even have proper wrestling boots. He was wearing one of those construction outfit, and he gave me a huge kick to my chest, and I was like, I couldn't breathe for 5-10 minutes. I was like, and I was keep asking, what are you doing? Then now Irish whip reversal. No, it was like Irish whip. Was a small spot. I called it. I said Irish whip, elbow, and double axel. It was a very easy spot. He whipped me, and he just charged me with stinger splash to my elbow. Boom. I hear a sound. I know something popped. I didn't feel anything at that point of time. I knew something was wrong, but somehow I finished the match. And I believe within 5 to 10 minutes, it was bad. I was in a pain really badly. It was just like, and I had to put ice and everything. And this guy was like holding his chest. He came back in the locker room. I don't know what was his deal. Even though in the ring, I did the figure four leg lock. He didn't sell at all. None. Nothing. He passed out. The referee count 1, 2, 3. And in the back, he was selling. I don't know. I don't know if he was really going through a chest pain. And everybody's worried. He's like, hey, Vinny, are you okay? Are you okay? You good? And I'm on the other side. Fucked my shoulder socket. Right. No one gives a shit. I was like, wow. And Vinny didn't even came to me and asked me like if I'm okay or anything like that. It was bad. I went home. Chief Thunder Bear was with me, and I was in pain, man. I was in a really bad pain. I was pretty much screaming. You can ask him; he'll tell you. I was pretty much crying. It was bad. It's not a nice thing to say. A professional wrestler, a heel, was crying, but. I was crying. I couldn't even move my arm. Next day, I went to Med Express, took my X-ray scans and everything. They told me I had I popped my shoulder and socket joint, and I was putting the KT tape and putting eyes and all the other stuff. Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, I watched that because I left because all the I had some marital issues myself, so I left and all the issues that was going on at IWH at the time, so I made my exit.
Yeah,
and I think we started talking before you had that match because I seen you working TWA.
Yeah,
and I kind of hoping you wouldn't work him, and I mentioned that, said see if you can work somebody else, but me and my ex is watching it, and she just, she was with me long enough where she knows, some of the business, and she just shook her head, and she goes, Vinny's a piece of shit. He sucks. Because the other guy's good, but, Vinny's not selling, yeah. And he wasn't. I mean, I seen you put the boots to him, and he's just laying there like, I did well. Sorry, Vinny's got my number. He don't like it. He can call me. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, if you look at that match, he pretty much was kicking my ass. And I was selling. I was selling for him for everything. But, some people, it's just – and I learned my lesson, man. See as it is. Yeah. It was a learning process.
Yeah. And I heard your podcast, which is a great podcast.
Thank you.
You had Andrew Mackin on there.
A
great booker for IWA, mm-hmm. And the whole situation while he left, was a travesty and, in my opinion, bullshit. And I voiced my opinion on that. But, sadly, Vinny came with me to IWA. Originally, my plan was to have the Black Label Rebel, Chris Creighton, who was going by Chris Hex at the time. Yeah. We were tag champs in GWF. We were the Black Label Outlaws,
mm-hmm.
which, I think his ring work is good.
Yeah.
But he was afraid that he wasn't good enough. He was going to look bad. And, it's like, dude said, people's told you you're good enough. I mean, we're just going to do this match. If they like us, we'll come back. If not, we won't go back.
Yeah.
Or he didn't want to go. At the time, me and Vinny was having issues. We tried to talk it out and, I let him know, I was trying to get Chris to come down with me, and he goes, well, I'll go. All right. I want to come. I want to work at IWA. But mm-hmm. they need a tag team. So, reluctantly, I took him with me, and the rest is history. And he was having issues. I think that's why he didn't make it to the show. Connor Cross came with me.
Yeah.
To make his debut. Andrew Mackin put him in Vinny's place.
Yeah.
And we were over down there. I mean, the crowd ate us up, and we won the tag team titles that night. And
mm-hmm.
I rode with Connor. We were on our way home. Vinny didn't text me one word. Not one word. But he's blowing up Connor's phone.
Wow.
He was upset that me and Connor were the tag champs. And, and Connor said he'd, give the tag belt to him. I was like, no, you're not. So I already told Andrew, keep me with Connor. I said, we work good together. And so the rest is history. But it seems like I said, the consensus is, nobody wants to work him.
Yeah. So some people, man, that's another thing. Because I remember we were having a thunder snowstorm or something like that. And a lot of people called off and. Me and my traveling buddy at that time, we drove from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to Chillicothe. It was like 3 hours, 40-some minutes. And I believe Vinny Vilens, I don't think he lived that far away from Chillicothe. And he was one of the guys that didn't show up either. It's a commitment thing. Like, if you're not showing up, it's your responsibility to let the promoter know or your friends know that, hey, this is what's going on. I won't be able to make it. It's just like a work.
Yeah.
People don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're booked and you tell the promoter you're going to be there, he's got everything set,
And I was always under this impression that Vinny – probably friends with Caleb or relatives. I don't know. That's always,
Brenda taking a liking to him, and that's why he got some of the pushes that he got and was kept around. I mean, there was nothing going on with him. I'll get that out there right now. But she taking a liking to him and all his, you know, why, I don't know. But
you can ask him, and he will tell you. Vinny Wilds will tell you. The moment I know that I'm going to work with him, I was reaching out to him through social media, Facebook. I was very respectful to him. I said, hey, man, would you like to work on another shows? I can help you to get booked on other shows. And he was like, all right, yeah, let me know. And I talked to a few promoters for this dude. And when I reached back and I contacted Vinny again, and I asked him, like, hey, man, there's this promoter wanted to book you. And he was like, I don't think I'll be able to do that. And later down the road, now I know he was a fucking piece of shit who never got trained well, unprofessional asshole. So now I know, you know, but at the same time, just imagine, even though I had no clue who he was, and I was still trying to help him.
Right.
Yeah. All this is all before the Patriot thing happened.
Yeah. And the whole Patriot sniper, you know. And
yeah.
My second ex, which, you know, like I said, she knows a lot of the ins and outs of the business because me and her have been together so long. She's went to just about every show while we were together, and she ended up working the merchandise table for IWA.
Yeah.
But she kept on saying that Vinny doing that Patriot gimmick is a ripoff to what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way people are going to cheer him, because he sucks.
Yeah.
Then, yeah, it's, you know, he's getting
blacklisted. And I want to point out something, too. At this point of time, I'm really hurt, and I'm booked for other shows, and I already did TWA, and Brad reached out to me, Brad Litchfield. I'm very thankful and grateful to him for giving me a lot of opportunity, and he's really a professional, humble human being. He reached out to me. He barely knows me at that point of time. He reached out to me, and he said, man, if you're injured, it's all right. Take rest. Don't worry. And professional wrestling is something that I always loved. That's always something that I always wanted to do it. So I started putting KT tapes around my shoulder, even though still I'm not really healed completely. But I wanted to do it. And I was in a mindset. It was like, even if I'm going to die, I want to die in the ring. That was my mindset.
Right.
And I still went there, did the triple threat match with Vane Lewis and Joker Wild. And I believe Caleb and Vinny Violence, those guys were there in the crowd. And Joker told me later that Caleb was asking him if Vinny was okay in the ring. And Joker told me, yeah, it's okay. Then I believe some guys told me, like, you know, some people were spreading the rumors. Vinny Wilds was all right. I'm not trained. It was me. Got injured by myself. It was terrible. I was like, wow.
Yeah, I watched the match, and, you know, other people have seen it yet. So, yeah, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, like I told, it was that match I was watching, you know, and I said, you know, if I go back, I want to work with, you know, this guy, because, I mean, he's, because the gimmick he was doing at the time, and, you know, my American gimmick.
Yeah.
I think we could have done something pretty good.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah.
Now
even we were supposed to do some stuff together when we were doing the Guile Castle storyline, too. I remember.
Yeah.
In TWA. Yeah.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, I remember that. Me, you, and Brad and Guile were all talking. And Brad Litchfield is probably one of the best promoters, if not the best promoter in the state of Ohio.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Can't disagree with that. Definitely, for sure.
Then I got myself, which I stayed in my Connor Cross, you know, podcast. You know, I got in trouble. I have marital issues.
Yeah.
I was drinking angry, then got behind the wheel, which is the first time I ever did it. And the first time I ever did it, I got caught.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, and lost my license. And, you know, so I couldn't make it. And I, you know, had pneumonia at the time. And so it was just on top of my COPD. So it was just a bad time at that, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, you know, I pulled through, you know, got back in the ring, even though I got to catch rides and bum rides with other wrestlers. But, you know,
And some people was like, you know, trying so hard to get Vinny in TWA.
Yeah, I think Brad put a stop to that real quick.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, here's a three-part question.
It yeah.
goes on the line that we just had a conversation about. Who do you like working with? And who do you refuse to work with? And who would you like to work with that you never worked with before?
Brandon Skinner, I would love to work with him. Never got a chance to step in the ring with him. Joshua Charles, we never had a one-on-one match. I believe we always have pretty much a similar background. But again, you know, it never happened. Then Samuel, one of my best matches of all time. Gal Castle, very easy, very professional, very easy to work with. Wayne Lewis, easy, very easy to work with. I would love to work with Joker Wild one-on-one. Never got a chance to work with Joker. I kind of believe that it would be so funny. And at the same time, it would be very interesting. I believe we can tell a very good story. Joker is a great, great talent. He have a great gimmick. I would love to work with Joker. Then, who else? Yeah, I never got a chance to work with Vincent Cross. We were supposed to work, and I was going through a lot of problems, mentally, physically, you know, a lot of issues. Never got a chance to work with Vincent Cross, but I would love to work with him. Who else did I? Nero. He's another guy, very easy to work with. Again, like I said, Gary Gandy and TNA superstar Larry D. It was an amazing opportunity to step in the ring with him. And I really apologize. I totally forgot to mention his name. Again, it's one of those concussion things. A former WWE tag team champion, All Japan Wrestling heavyweight champion, now pro wrestling Noah tag champion Rene Dupree. It was amazing. It was a great experience to step in the ring with Rene Dupree as well. And the guys that I love to work with, again, like I said, Brandon Skinner. I love to work with Brandon Skinner, Joshua Charles, Joker Wild. Timmy Patterson, he's also another guy that I love to work with him. You, of course, it never happened, but I love to work with you.
Thank you.
I definitely want to step in the ring with you. Seen your work, very professional, very easy in the ring. We can definitely tell a great story, that's for sure.
Thank you. Now, you know, I know we're jumping around, but...
Sorry, one more name. David Day.
David Day. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I've seen, you know, all the guys you mentioned, I've seen their work. Yeah. Definitely very professional, very, very talented guys.
Yeah.
Okay, I know we're jumping around here, but back to IWA, what do you think their downfall was?
It's like, I don't want to pinpoint, like, if you've never been in this business, I wouldn't say anything about Andrew Macon because Andrew did everything right. According to, you know, what I know, what I've seen it, because he didn't just show up in a day and he became a booker. No, he was under the guidance of Bull. Bull was teaching him everything. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So he learned from the best, from the promoter itself. Bull was teaching him everything. There are guys, they say that they were trained by the Iron Sheik or they were wrestlers before that experience. It clearly shows what they were. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's like the way they were booking talents. This is even I told Andrew on my podcast, like, okay, IWA is one of the oldest promotions. And at this point of time, when I was even working for IWA, even though just two shows, I had no clue that IWA was one of the oldest promotion in Ohio. I had no clue. And also the problem was they were bringing all these guys who were not trained, forgetting the spots. And there's also another thing. They're not really working with the crowd. So my question is why you are doing what you're doing in the ring. For whom? For the crowd. If you're not really reacting, if you're not working with the crowd, then what's the point of working, right?
Right.
It doesn't matter. You do 10,000 high spots. If nobody's like paying attention to you, then what's the whole point of doing it? So I barely seen anyone actually having contact, that connection with crowd. Doesn't matter your baby, doesn't matter your heel. You have to have some sort of contacts. Like, you know, I believe this match was going on between what's his name? I believe it was a tag match or something. Tag match or lumberjack match, Kodiak, JJ Stone, Rob Allen. The crowd was pretty much dead. Of course, they were cheering for one spot where JJ Stone did the high spot. You know, he did that moonsault on lumberjacks. Yeah, of course, something like that, you always get attention.
Yes.
But it was the same thing. It's the same thing. It's just like, you know, and I remember Joshua Charles was telling Kodiak, stop killing DDT. It was like a DDT fest. DDT, 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 one after another, one after another. It was just an example that I was saying, like, you know, so they were like bringing a lot of untrained guys. It was very unsafe to work with. And it was bad. It was really bad. Probably that was the reason. Again, even whoever's coming there, number one, their work. If you have no connection with the crowd, then obviously you're not going to draw any penny. And guys like Jay Miller, Kodiak, they're especially that whole match, again, that was also a huge downfall. I'll completely agree with Joker Wild here, Jerry Eggers. You probably have, like, the best match on the card on that show, but unfortunately, you know, that's what the whole world saw.
Yeah. I mean, it got a lot of views in it. And
this is what I said. If you're uncomfortable of doing something, if you have done something, if you haven't done anything before in your life, don't do it in front of the crowd. Don't get embarrassed yourself.
Right. Absolutely.
Whatever you do, there should be a meaning for everything. I got a chance to meet Brett in Montreal, Calgary, Canada. I drove around like 32 some hours to meet him. So I wanted to ask his opinion on one of my matches. So the match that I showed him, it was like a guy who's smaller than me. I'm actually Irish whipping him. He ducked my clothesline, and he's Irish whipping me and going up and over. So Brett posts the video and asks me why he's Irish whipping you. I was like, I don't understand. Well, you are a bigger man. He haven't give you a chop, punch, kick, nothing, and right away he just Irish whipped you. So I understood, like, whatever you do, you have to have a reason. Do it for the reason. And again, I said, like, you know, again, that main event, Natty Wild against Rob Allen. Why the blade? No reason. You can use the blade if I'm whipping you to the post, I'm smashing you with the chair, you know?
Right.
All right. Makes sense. But a simple cross face, you have no reason to blade and expose this business.
Right. And
right in front of the whole crowd.
And by Ohio Athletic Commission rules, you ain't supposed to be blading anyway.
Exactly.
I mean,
and these bad decisions, bad matches, I don't think they had any good names they could actually bring the crowd. Even the very small amount of talents they had, they really underutilized them. As for I know, I can tell you this, Buckshot. I believe at the end of the IWA, I'm started seeing the IWA heavyweight title picture in the main event.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? When you were, you became the champion, when Conor Cross was the champion, at that point of time, the IWA heavyweight title was in the main event picture. Before that, when I was there, I don't think you're going to believe this, but Joshua Charles was defending his title on the card, the first on the card, the world title match.
Opening match?
Opening match, the first card, the opening match was the title defense. You can't ask Joshua. It was one of those cards. Heavyweight title match.
Wow.
And as a fan, as a worker, the very short period of time it was there, I've never seen a title, IWA heavyweight title match in the main event. It was always between those NWO, DX kind of a thing was going on.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. I mean, and you got a guy like Joshua Charles who can main event, you know. And,
yeah.
I mean, the guy's so, you know, talented, isn't it? Wow.
And also, it was bad because I've been told by, unfortunately, this person that he's going to bring 10 cameras and we're going to air the show on Fight Network. And when we went there, we were like three guys, me, Skinner, and this referee dude that I was talking about. For three of us, we talked and agreed for an amount. And at that time, he said, our champion, world champion, is Joshua Charles. And he's the one actually getting the high amount of money. And he gets around $150. I was like, yeah, if you want to be that, then you got to bring more fans. I have no problem paying you that. Then later down the road somewhere, I think I told Josh about that. And Josh said, I barely got $10.
Wow.
So all these things were a problem. Like, you know, well, Andrew said, Bull never pay talents. But at the same time, if Bull is bringing guys like Chris Harris or any big names, obviously you're going to pay, right?
Right.
But if you're a hometown talent, let's say I'm using IWA's ring to get trained, I'm using their facility to improve my character, then, of course, it's a part of paying dues. Just like Vincent Cross said, payment is the last thing. At the same time, you get an opportunity to work somewhere else and improve yourself, and you can still get paid. But that's how it is. Like, you know, and I believe that's also another problem. There are a lot of guys that were complaining they were not getting paid, but it goes 50-50. If you're complaining that you're not getting paid, ask yourself, are you really doing a great job? Are you really worth that money? It's from the worker's point. At the same time, there are a lot of good workers. They come over there and do their asses, and they won't get paid, like Joshua Toss. It was bad.
Absolutely. Okay, you've been in the business for a while. I mean, what titles have you held during your career?
My first title that I ever held, that was in Bobo Bristol Jr.'s promotion, MCIW Hot Breed. That was the tag team titles with the international superstar German Hammer, Baron Von Kane. It was the tag team title that I ever held. That was the first title I ever held. And individual title, beating Gary Gandy for the internet title in XVW Middletown. And the heavyweight title that I got a chance to win, beating Big of Black. Again, that was in XVW. These are the major titles I got an opportunity to held it. And down the road, the booker and the promoter in Stronghold Wrestling, he would like to put me the international title. Awesome. We'll see how that goes, you know.
Right.
People say, yeah. Some people say, like, you know, they're not title mark. And I tell you this, when I was a kid, I used to make titles with cardboards and papers, and it was always a childhood dream. And to hold that title,
right.
In fact, I never got a chance to buy a replica because, you know, never got a chance. I didn't have the money, you know. I grew up in a really, you know, poor background. So, but like I said, holding that title is something, you know. You can call me a title mark, but at the same time, you got to bust your ass. You got to work so hard. And winning a title in the professional wrestling business means you are the best at what you do, and promoter believe in you, and you are bringing fans, and you're putting a show.
Absolutely. I mean, Okay, what's the difference between the business now compared to what when you first came in?
When I came in, again, I know it's always you keep your mouth shut and you listen to the veterans, you listen to the legends. Understanding psychology is very important. Back then, I was very lucky to train under Johnny Rods or Gino Caruso or Nanzio. Any of these guys, you know, even at that time, I was doing seminars after seminars. Knowledge is divine. The only way you can improve is knowing the psychology. And back then when I started, there was a meaning behind everything. Every punch, every dropkick. Guys were like slow. But right now, that's another thing. I don't watch any of these bigger promotions on TV because I got a chance to talk to Rip Rogers, who I recently got to know that he's my neighbor. But we were so he asked me to write it down, some of these stuff. So we were watching AW. So he said, I want you to this is what he said, kid, I want you to write down the spots on the card. Number one, the opening match. And at the same time, I want you to sit back and watch the entire show and write down the spots. And at the end, you tell me how many repeated spots you saw there. And I did one show, and I believe match number one, match number two, then match number six had the same spots over and over and over. And just like a lot of flips. I didn't really see a lot of selling. I didn't see much any stories, any psychologies behind it. So I believe that that's the difference now. Now people think that doing all these cool spots are awesome, but they don't know how much they're jeopardizing their health on doing those stunts. Now these days, right, professional wrestling has become more a stunts fest, spot fest, than telling a story.
Right. It's why I like the indies better. I mean, a lot of time on indies, I mean, you actually got wrestling.
Yeah.
I mean, you got the chain wrestling and you actually got wrestling moves instead of all this.
Yeah.
Almost cruiserweight flippity flop.
Yep.
High spot, high spot, high spot.
Yep.
Yeah, that's.
I'll tell you one more. So I'm making my debut in XVW. I don't want to say his name, the guy, the kid that I'm working with. He was like, how many years of experience you have? I was like, yeah, that's my seventh year, pretty much. But I was injured. I was out of action for almost a year and a half. And what about you? Well, I have leg up, you know, 12 years experience. I've been in this business for the last 12 years. So, okay, that's cool. How old are you? He was like 23. Wow. And, it was like the promoter said, okay, Vinicius, you're going over strong, and you got 8 minutes. We're talking in the back, okay, and I'm pitching some of the spots for him. And it was like, no, okay, you were saying, keep saying, he was just pretty much saying no for everything. And he was like, okay, how about this one? How about I give you springboard stunner, then to a 450. Then it's kind of like one of those spot thing. And he wanted to take a spear on the floor. And I was like, dude, it's pretty much like, you know, even though I'm going over, I'm pretty much putting you over. Right?
Yeah.
And I refused to do a lot of his stuff. And it was like 8 minutes. And we could tell a story. And again, like, you know, it's kind of like a love and hate relationship between wrestlers when it comes to calling a match. You know, you can make everybody happy. They need their spots, all the spots, instead of the stories. They totally forget the fact that a promoter asks you to do something, you just shut your mouth and do it. You know, but they were like, okay, how can I get another moment or stuff on the camera so that I can put it on Facebook or TikTok. That's all they have in mind. And yeah, that was also another experience. It's like, you know, it's all changed. Young kids, I'll say kids because I'm 33, young generations, and they think that doing moving around like springboards and doing all this stuff is really cool now these days. That's the difference, I think.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I know you're doing your podcast. And that's new for me too. But what's in the future for Venice, and what else would you like to do? What would you still like to do in the business?
So I got a chance to travel to Japan twice. It was a great experience. I got a chance to meet some of the legends, Kazuo Hayashi, Great Muda, Antonio Honda, and all those guys. I got a chance to improve myself, change my style a lot. I'm going to bring more strong style Japanese culture into the table. That's what I'm doing now these days. And I want to improve more. And I was supposed to do stuff for WWE. Never happened, thanks to COVID-19. I was supposed to go back to Japan again, thanks to COVID-19. So my future, I want to go back to Japan, improve myself more and more and more, learn as many stuff I can. Then I want to start a dojo in Columbus, Ohio. And down the road, if it's, like I said, a dojo with a promotion, that's in my mind. Maybe within 3-4 years.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. I mean,
yeah, because, like, you know, I have friends in there, even guys like Rene Dupree or Antonio Honda, Yamaguchi, and all those guys. They said they could come over, they can do seminars, and they can help me out too, you know. So when you have good contacts, good friends, then it's always a good thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's probably what this business needs is something like that now. I mean, maybe give it, you know, some life again.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. What advice could you give the new guys or new gals coming into the business?
It's like respect. And I don't really see a lot of respect. A lot of young guys like to talk, run their mouth a lot. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but again, you know, it's probably going to be a culture thing too. Like, you know, when I go to Japan, it's entirely different. Everybody's quiet and you listen to the veterans. You shake everybody's hands when you go to the locker room. If you're an established wrestler, if you just finish your training, wherever you go, whatever the promotion to work, you always respect the talents. Talk less, listen more. That's one thing I can say. And the ones who like to do this, again, also to stop watching WWE or AEW. If you are watching these products, then that's the reason you want to step in this wrestling business, then don't do it. You're probably going to get hurt so fast. Because those guys, they've been trained by professionals and they've been doing it for so many years. If you are in this business, if you want to do a lot of stunts and high spots, it takes years and years of training and focus, concentrations and everything. But at the same time, if you want to get into the business because you love it, then learn it in a traditional way. Go to a wrestling school. There are a lot of good wrestling schools out there, especially OVW, Ohio Valley Wrestling. They are the only certified professional wrestling school on the planet, as far as I believe. They will give you the professional wrestler certification in there. That's the best place. Anyone can go there. You'll get an opportunity to learn from the best. They will help you. Then there are a lot of other promotions out there, like Rockstar, Dayton, Ohio, and I believe TWA. Brad Litchfield was talking about doing a wrestling school too. That would be really cool because, man, I tell you, TWA ring is the best ring I ever stepped in anywhere. You have the best ring. That's a very good ring to learn. So join in any of these promotions and make a good contacts, good impression. Stay away from negative things on social media. Try not to post anything bad. Always try to just stay away from bad things. You can express your opinion, but at the same time, make sure you have a gimmick name. And of course, you have to have your own account name. These are very important now these days. Social media thing is very important. Watch what you say, watch what you express. Try your best to not offend anybody, which is really easy now these days. But at the same time, like, you know, these are very important things. This is the best advice that I can give to upcoming wrestlers or somebody wanted to step in this business. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's great advice. Okay, brother, I'd like to thank you once again for taking your time.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on your podcast. I greatly appreciate it.
You know, and, you know, telling your story, and you stay safe.
Thank you, sir. You too. I really hope this thing will end very soon. I really hope I can get an opportunity to step in the ring with you very soon.
Yeah, me too. Most definitely. Now, next week, I'm going to try to have the Black Label Rebel Creighton on here, but it just depends. Right now, he's under the weather. He's got the virus right now, but he's on the mend. So prayers goes out to Creighton.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, and for Vinish, I'm the American Redneck Buckshot Jones. Thank you for listening to the BSJ podcast.
Thank you. Peace.